Mystery Theater presents Tales from Hoffman, Chapter 5. Tonight, The Mines of Falloon. E.T.A. Hoffman's story in radio version by Gavin Douglas and presented from CBC Halifax on Mystery Theater. The Mines... Tonight, The Mines of Falloon. E.T.A. Hoffman's story in radio version by Gavin Douglas and presented from CBC Halifax on Mystery Theater. The Mines of Falloon.
Flags waved in the azure blue air above the harbor. The water was thronged with boats and shouting well-wishers. Merchants and fathers of the city, wreathed in smiles, strode up and down the wharves, and the dockyard quarter echoed with the songs and yells of new rich sailors and their women. The great East India merchantman was home at last. We had never known a richer or more triumphant voyage. The city of Gothenburg, said the merchants, nay, all Sweden would prosper on the wealth we brought. We were the heroes of the hour. I had sailed with them in every storm and danger. I was their friend, their comrade. For the first hour or so, they plied me with brandy and girls and slapped me on the back and asked me why did I look like the skull at the feast. But soon, thank God, they left me alone in a dark corner of the tavern to turn my eyes inward and look at nothing. I thought I was silent, but I must have spoken, for a rough old voice behind me suddenly cut across my thoughts.
You must have experienced great misfortune, my boy.
What? I beg your pardon?
Someone so young to ask for death? Death at the very gate of life?
I did not know I was wishing aloud.
Why wish to at all? You're just off the East Indiaman in the harbor. You've been well paid. You're safe home.
I took passage to support my mother, who was alone in the world except for me. I came back only to her.
Well?
Her door was answered by a woman I'd never seen before. She told me rudely that my mother had been 3 months dead and buried. The pauper's legacy she left, the woman said, was being kept for me in the town hall. And she slammed the door in my face.
And so all the weary months and years at sea...
were for nothing and worse than nothing. She died friendless and alone, with a dog to follow her coffin.
And to forget... sail again with the next merchantman?
I will never touch the sea again for so long as I live.
Then hearken to me, Aelis.
What?
Oh, you need not start. I heard them call you that. Hearken to me. That you were brave and independent, I know already. And everything that you do and say is proof that you are open-hearted as a child. The sea will never feed your spirit, Aelis. You do well to give it up. Heed my counsel, Aelis. Go to Falloon and become a miner.
What? Become a miner?
You are young and strong and quick. You will be an excellent apprentice. Then a stone cutter, a full-fledged miner, then a foreman, and higher yet. You know nothing of a mine, Aelis. Let me tell you of it. The greatest of mine works are those of Falloon. I have known their illimitable richness of precious stones since my earliest youth. I have wandered their shafts like the paths of a sorcerer's garden. The rocks come alive. The fossils stir themselves. Al-Mandan and Wanderer's Pyrus Malith sparkle in the shine of the miners' lamps. Crystals glitter and glisten one among the other. You have seen them, all of them, in your dreams since boyhood. Is that not so?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Very well, then. Consult with yourself and do as your own mind bids you. Fare you well, Aelis.
I leapt up to call him back, but he had vanished more quickly than I could have believed possible. Around me, the tavern was suddenly still as a grave. Its guests departed or asleep on benches. I walked slowly back to my small room, more moved by the old miner's words than I had dared to let him see. And that night, a dream ship took me to the world of stone. I was standing on a fair ship that swam, full-sailed on a mirror sea, swept over by the dark clouds of heaven. As I looked down through the waves, I saw that we floated not on water, but on a sparkling, transparent mass of stones that rolled beneath us like the ocean, with a thunderhead of black stone above. The ship drove forward under unknown power. The mineral sea began to stir suddenly around it, and from the bottom, wondrous flowers and plants sprang up, gliding and creeping and twisting together, made all of wondrous metal. So clear was the sea surface that one could stare down among the metal plants, deep down to their very roots, which sprang from the hearts of exquisite girls who held their white arms upwards toward the surface. Desire and longing overcame me, and I plunged with outstretched arms into the mineral sea and hovered there as if in shimmering ether.
Now, Aelis, does the divine glory please you?
A gigantic form, cast all in glowing bronze, came near me, turning the dream toward nightmare. It was the old miner. I tried to flee, but on the instant a glare like lightning leapt up from the depths, revealing a grim and powerful face. The face of a woman.
Beware, Aelis. Beware. It is the queen of the molten rivers. Look upon her countenance.
No, I cannot. I cannot.
Beware, Aelis. Oh, beware. On your life, be true to the queen to whom you have given yourself. Oh, be true.
Ah! Existed for 3 days and nights, and then I took the road to Falun. After many weary days, I stood at last on the rim of one of the great mining pits of the world, as it stretched out before me, 1,200 feet long, 600 feet wide, and 180 feet deep. I stood and looked, unbelieving, into the mouth of hell.
Welcome to Falloon, young man.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
My pleasure. It is our custom to greet strangers here and not to ignore them as do other places. From your clothing, I assume you're a sailor?
I was, sir. I have left the sea with the intention of becoming a miner.
And you regret your choice, am I right?
You understand me very well, sir. It seems a life for an earthworm, not a man.
If you were a little older, lad, I would think you a fool. I own one of the mines whose shafts you see leading off from the great pit there. And I tell you, no other life so tests a man. It is an old belief with us that the mighty elements the miner battles day by day will annihilate him if he does not fight and fight again for his supremacy. Never be misled by their blackened faces. Miners are giants among men.
I should like to see them at their work, sir.
And so you shall, lad. My name is Dalji. My mine is third from the left of the great rock fall there, and my chief foreman will take you down tomorrow without fail. What is your name?
Aelis, Herr Dalcio. Aelis Frobum.
Very well, Aelis. You're a likely young man. You look strong as an ox for a start. And if you're a sailor, you must be quick and dexterous, eh?
Oh, yes.
There are vacancies on my crew. And I'm an exacting master. But if you take to the work as I think you will not find me ungenerous. I'll have old Hansen take you down tomorrow.
Father?
Oh.
Here you are.
Ula, my dear, let me introduce you to our newest apprentice, as I hope he'll be, Aelis Frobum. Aelis, my daughter Ula.
You are a newcomer then, Aelis. I hope they've made you welcome here. It is a forbidding country to be alone in.
I have not felt alone, Fräulein Ula, since I first came here and your father spoke to me, and I feel less alone now. That is,
I think my daughter knows what you mean, Aelis. We don't stand on ceremony here. You're free to think her beautiful at any time you wish. But you're not free to court her until you've proved yourself, my lad. With fire and earth, I mean. With fire and earth.
Forgot all my terror of the abyss, and I never again looked down on a miner's work as murder of the soul. I had one goal in life and one alone, to work with all my might and so impress Herr Dalcio as to fulfill one day my sweetest hopes for Ula. And so it came about that in an unbelievably short space of time, I became one of the most practiced miners underground. And Herr Dalgio began to hint with pride that I would one day command an entire mine. And Ula and I, we spoke endlessly without words. I became sure of her heart with every passing day, and the dark shafts underground for me were filled with light. I had begun to work in the deepest and most difficult shafts, 14, 16, 18 hours a day. I thought of the mine as empty and came to resent the intrusion of daily shifts. Late one night, when I knew myself to be the sole living thing in all the honeycomb of shafts, I was working shrouded in thick sulfur smoke. The pit lamp glimmered faintly through the foul air. One could scarcely tell the stone corridors one from another. Suddenly, I heard a sound, at first faint and far away, like like something knocking from the depths of a deep chest. It resolved itself slowly into the sound of an approaching sledgehammer striking upon the rock as it came. But as I crouched in an alcove, hoping that shadow and smoke would hide me, I knew that the sound was like no sledgehammer that I had ever heard. On he came and on, until suddenly the pall of sulfur smoke was swept away, and he stood there in the clear, dark air.
Greetings, Aelis. Down here in the rock world, how does the life agree with you, old friend? But quite silent? Can this rouse you then?
As I raised my hammer to strike at him, he swept away in a howling wind, and the curtain of sulfur smoke covered the shafts again in yellow darkness. Vanished in a great gust of wind. It was the same grizzled old miner from the Dockyard Tavern in Göteborg who first persuaded me to come to Falun. He seemed larger and superhumanly stronger, but it was the same man. I swear it.
I would never dream of doubting you.
Do you know him, then?
I most certainly do.
Who is he?
He is a miner named Torburn.
A miner? Does he work here, in your mine?
He very often does.
And I have never seen him in the shafts. How long has he been working, then?
For more than 150 years.
Lord, save us all.
He was one of the first workmen to open the mines of Falun. There never was a miner like him before or since. He worked always in the deepest and most inaccessible shafts alone. It was believed he lived in the mine. He had no wife, no child, no known house on the surface. He was fantastically successful, and the rumor spread that he had linked himself with the dark powers of Earth, with those who live far below, where the molten metal is born and flows. He was never wrong in his predictions. I cannot fathom then why no one paid attention to the last he gave.
on Earth. In the year 1687, he told everyone who would listen that a gigantic earthquake was to be expected in that very year. On St. John's Day, it occurred. That great pit you see that I found you staring into on your first day in Falun, it was not made by man. That dreadful sunken ground is the residue of the earthquake. And somewhere under it lies Torburn. They saw him after that, as you did tonight, pointing out good veins of ore, sometimes recruiting for us in other cities when we were a man or two short on crew. I do not like it that he is hostile to you. I do not like it.
There was one thing he told me that I omitted. He said that I should never marry Ulla. That is one place, sir, where I should like to give him the lie. I would like to request the favor of your daughter's hand in marriage.
With all my heart, so long as it is done quickly. I think that our fate is closing in on us.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. I'll tell Ulla at once.
Ailis.
Yes?
Remember to instruct the miners tomorrow to dig where Torburn struck the rock and told you a vein lay. He is never wrong.
What's this? Why didn't you tell me before?
I hoped against hope he would return before you learned of it. But it's 2 hours and he's not back
you
yet.
You say he went down the mine? Down the mine and left you here in your bridal dress? There's no one in the mine today, no one at all. Every man of them is awaiting the two of you in the church at this very moment. Why? Why did he do it?
He said he'd been promised a wedding present of the rarest bronze and that he must at all costs fetch it.
A wedding present? At the bottom of a mine shaft.
Father, what day is it today?
Why, it's St. John's Day.
Oh, God!
The disaster bell. They only ring it like that for a cave-in.
He's gone. He's gone, I know it. Torburn has him now. The bell is for him. Ailis. Oh, Ailis. Oh, Ailis.
Nothing has been seen of either of them from that day forward. It is assumed that Ailis is buried somewhere in the mine. May God keep my daughter if living. If dead, why then the better. I go to join her. I hope it please heaven quickly.
Falun, St. John's Day. My dear Leonora, a most peculiar occurrence here. The body of a young man was brought up today from a collapsed section of the mines, where apparently it has lain for 50 years. He must have been caught in a pocket of icy water or some such thing, for he looks as though he died this morning. Well, I don't ask you to believe this, but he wore the clothes of a bridegroom. Imagine, wedding costume in a mine shaft. There was a disagreeable incident involved as well. An old woman approached the body. The natives call her Grandmother St. John's Day, for no one knows her name, And she appears on that day of the year and no other. The instant she caught sight of the body, she clasped it in her withered old arms and rocked back and forth, crying.
Oh, oh, my bridegroom. Oh, my dear, dear Aelys. I have not waited in vain.
And she sank down to the ground. Died. I must say, I'm acquiring something like fear of this place. I shall never visit this smoking, clanking hell again, believe me. What I mean to say is, the man's corpse, when the woman closed her eyes, it turned to dust on the spot. I'm leaving Falun tonight, by express.
E.T.A. Hoffman's story, The Mines of Falun, retold for radio by Gavin Douglas, was heard tonight on Mystery Theater. Bruce Armstrong was Aelys, the sailor, and Joseph Rutten played Torburn, the miner. Bill Fulton was Delcio, and Maureen Fitzgerald was heard as Ula. Sound Carl Scott and Doug Rankin, audio Bud Tabor. Next Friday, Chapter 6 of Tales from Hoffman, Part 1 of The Forest Warden. Mystery Theater was produced by Peter Duncan. Paul Hirshon speaking.